Today's reading comes from Matthew 25, 14, verses 14 through 30, which can be found on page 1541 in your pew Bible. Okay, this comes from the parable of the talents. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with the 2 talents also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the banker so that when I return, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth."
All right. Would you join me in the word of prayer? Lord God, as we come before your word today, I pray that you would open the eyes of our heart, that we may see the truth that you have laid before us. We pray that you would also convict our hearts about what does it mean to be a servant? What does it mean to be serving in these times? We thank you, God, for your grace that has poured out so abundantly for us. We are so thankful. Continue to remind us that you are here in our presence as we listen to your words. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this week, it reminded me that very clearly we are living in a world of crisis. I was going through the news, and I remember coming across how the economy continues to struggle and many are still without jobs. And we are promised that relief is in sight, but it's not happening as quickly as we would like. The war in Afghanistan and Iraq, it continues to bear heavy on our hearts and minds. And for many who have loved ones who are serving there, our thoughts are heavy and long for them to be with us soon. And recently, the earthquake in Haiti. You know, I read about it, and I have to admit, my heart was very broken. And part of the breaking was that I realized that I couldn't fully understand how serious the situation is. You know, a country that has already been devastated by violence and poverty is now declaring thousands upon thousands dead. And one fears about the infrastructure of the whole country, of like how long it will take for it to reconstruct itself. One can only imagine the trauma of realizing that, you know, at least 100,000 are expected to be dead. And here we are on this Sunday. And here I am, supposed to preach before everyone. And you can't help but feel a bit of this helplessness that creeps in. What are we to do? And I just wanted to kind of walk through my journey of this week. And it's easy to be paralyzed. You know, it's easy to be paralyzed and to think that the cares and the concerns are too great. To say, I am only a single person. And what can I do in the face of a world with so many needs? And it's at this point I want to turn our attention to this parable, a teaching story, if you will, from Matthew 25. And this story in Matthew is a part of a series of teachings that Jesus had about the coming kingdom of God. And Jesus declared that with his coming, the kingdom of God is here. But it is clear, even though Jesus has come, we have not seen the fullness of it yet. Because this world is still sin-torn, still broken. But hope has come to us, and hope is coming. And that is the hope of the gospel. And even though Jesus came, he's trying to say, there's still a lot of work to do. And all of these parables are kind of telling us, he's warning us to be watchful and wise. And ultimately, he wants to let us know that evil and destruction does not have the final word in God's kingdom. Things do look dark, but God is bringing a salvation. He is bringing hope. But be sure of this, Jesus Christ is going to come again, but he's also going to hold us accountable for our actions. And before this happens, however, he does offer the hope of forgiveness, of love, of grace, of acceptance, of healing. And ultimately, Christ's second coming is about bringing hope in life, and it's definitely needed in these desperate times. But this parable is to remind us that as we wait for Christ's return, it's not a casual, passive thing. We are called to be faithful and obedient in difficult times. How? How can we be faithful and obedient in difficult times? We come back to that same question. How can my faithfulness make a difference in such a sin-torn world with so many needs? I'm just one person. How can I make a difference? It's often at this point I've met with some people who have studied, social work or the needs or the dilemmas of society, and they get so discouraged by what they see as they study. They just kind of throw up their arms and think, nothing can be done. Nothing can be done. We are too slow, we are too ignorant, we are too foolish, we're in big trouble. But I think this parable addresses that. And so what this parable is about, we read that the master went away. And this is important to note. He entrusted his wealth with his servants. And in our life, it is important to realize that many feel like we've been left behind by God. Jesus Christ came, and he died on the cross, and he rose again, and he took off. But be rest assured, we read in his teaching that though he may have left in a way, he left us with a wealth of blessings. In fact, he didn't really leave us, because when Christ left, he promised something greater. He promised the Holy Spirit as a sign of salvation, as a helper to be our strength in our Christian journey. He showered us, as we read in the Bible, with every good and perfect gift. We read in Ephesians that God has been faithful to give us every spiritual blessing in Christ, even though it doesn't feel like that. Even though in very desperate times it feels like we are overwhelmed by our lack of resources, our inability to change our circumstances. And when things are going hard, it's a lot easier to think about what you don't have, isn't it? I know when I was growing up in school, I was thinking, I'm coming before this test. All I could think about was how I wasn't smart enough, how I didn't study enough, how I didn't have enough. As I got older, I got into difficult times. I thought, if I only had more of dot, dot, dot. If I only had a better dot, dot, dot. When things get hard, it's easy to think about what we don't have. But the parable wants to set off straight. It's like, yes, this master went away, but make sure you realize that he entrusted his entire wealth with us. He gave us much. The entire wealth of God's grace has been given to us. And so when the master returns, he's going to see, what did you do with this wealth that I have given to you? And it's interesting to see that the master doesn't discriminate like other masters. If I was a master, I would say, I'm just going to judge you by your profit. So I'm obviously going to expect as much as you can get back. But interestingly, this master is a little strange to me. To the one who had five, he brought back five. And I'm thinking, great, he brought back five. But the next one is very strange because he only had two and he brought back two. And interestingly, in the parable, they're equally praised. You see, God is not interested in looking at our productivity. He's not looking at you today and saying, like, how many talents can you bring to this church today? He's not interested in grading you, even though we think that God is sometimes like that. He's not looking at a point score, He's not looking at evaluating you as maybe some of our teachers or employers do. The point is, of the parable, is that everyone has something to give. And when someone gives, everyone can get something back. Everyone can get some kind of blessing. And God just wants to see the return. That is what God is seeking, the return. And this is what makes the final servant so upsetting to the master. I remember reading this as a younger man, and I was thinking, man, God, the master is so harsh. What is it about this final servant that's so bad? I thought he was being, very, very responsible. I only have one. I'm going to just sit on it because I don't want to lose it because it's so precious, right? And he says, Master, I know that you're a hard man. And that betrays what he was thinking in verse 24. The reason why he did it, as we read these words, Master, I know you're a hard man. He's saying, Master, I'm afraid of you. And I'm afraid I'm going to lose this. And that fear led to him retreating inwards, and he buried the gift he was given. And it's that kind of view of God that can sometimes make us inactive servants when we need to give something. We're fearful of the judgment to come if we don't bring back 1,000 talents. Better to hold on to the little that I have rather than step out in faith and see if I can get a return on this one. Because this must be safer. But you see, that's not how God is looking at it. You see, God is saying, this talent is not yours. I gave you this talent, and I have full confidence that this talent I gave you is fully able to give back a return. You see, what God is seeking is people who want to multiply what they have. We come to this sin-torn world with so many needs, and we're so afraid, and we think, God, there's so much work to be done. For me to give up the precious resources that I have, and my time, and my precious passions for these things, surely I'm going to end up on the losing end of it. I'm going to give to this crazy, like, quicksand world, and it's just going to sink, and I will lose the little that I have. I can't give. I'm afraid. And as a result, we go and bury ourselves underground, forgetting the treasure that we have that was not ours, but actually given by God. You see, they were gifts of wealth given from the master himself, and that wealth was made to be multiplied. It's the kind of gift that starts off small and simple, but God is keen on making it multiply. And he does it miraculously so that it's just 5 loaves, 2 fishes, and it feeds thousands. He does this thing where he raises up a simple Hebrew boy, and he frees all of his people. He does this thing where he raises up someone in a very humble beginning of a manger and ends up saving the world. And you may think it a simple gesture of giving, this little thing that I have. But I assure you that God is more than able to multiply what you give. It could be a simple love offering of money, a simple gesture of telling someone that I remembered you, I care for you, a simple effort of saying, use my time, use my energy for what you want. And you'd be surprised to see that even though you had 1 talent, God could make another out of it. If you had 5, you could make 5 out of it. Chinese Community Church can seem quite small compared to the mega churches out there. But I have 75 years of history to tell you that God has multiplied many things here. God has done many things. God has raised up many saints, many devoted believers of God here. God has given us this building in a very miraculous sort of way. See what God can do. And if that doesn't drive it home, think of one simple preacher's son who was born in Atlanta, Georgia in 1929. He looked around him and he saw the many injustices of his time. And in particular, he saw how many of his fellow African Americans were born into poverty. And all the racial prejudices around him gave way to these systems of injustice. And they kept people segregated. And people were denied the dignity that just comes to them for being human beings. And he was just one man. But it was through his time in the church that he realized that God's people can make a difference. It was in the church where he realized that a community of people can gather together and make a difference. And so he dedicated his life to studying, to learning, to equipping himself, and to fighting injustice, and promoting a vision of God's kingdom to Christians and non-Christians alike. That was very odd. Think about this. We can change the world, not through power, but through forgiveness, through unity, through nonviolence, through compassion. And he called it a beloved community. He said, a beloved community can change the world. And you know, many people don't know, but there were many times where he was afraid of going forward. He didn't want to be the figurehead of this great movement. But he realized that though he was one person, what you offer can be multiplied by God. And though his time on earth was cut abruptly short through assassination, his legacy still lives on. This Sunday, actually, is Martin Luther King Jr. Sunday. It's this weekend, is the weekend that we remember this great man. And though he was just one man, it's amazing, isn't it? That things continue to be raised up in his name. The simple talent that he offered continues to be multiplied to this day. A man who offered up his talents to God, and God multiplied it. He did not set out with a great beginning, but with each step, God multiplied the talents. And now, just consider the reverse. One can only imagine what would have happened if he chose to bury what God had given him. To think of the justice that would be denied by so many if he had said, this is what I've got. I don't want to lose it. What can this one talent do to change the world? Better to bury it. Can you see how much we would have lost? And that is why that final servant is so frustrating in the master's eyes. When we bury our talents, we show our lack of faith. We say, God, I'm too afraid. I'm too confused. This world is too big. Really, these gifts you've given me, it's not enough. I can't do anything with it. It's not going to benefit anyone. So just, it's safer to sit on it, you know? That's the safest way to go about life. Just take care of yourself. But if you take care of yourself at the end, the master will look at you and say, I gave you wealth. I gave you my wealth. I'm not looking for this great productivity. I'm not looking for 1,000 talents. I'm just looking that you would have the faith to say, like, this can make something. You see, the kingdom is a strange economy. It's a guaranteed return. Maybe the return isn't quite what you thought it was, but it returns nevertheless. And that explains the harsh behavior of the master found in verse 28 to 30. Are you going to be stingy with the blessings of God has given you? Well, let's give it to someone else who's going to use it then. And you see, don't let anyone tell you today, as you come into these doors, that you do not have something to give. Because what you have to give is Christ in you. If you are in God's family, the Holy Spirit lives in you and gives you the ability and the strength to give something. Not from your own strength, not from your own resources, but from Christ in you. And for you to come before God and say, I had nothing to give, it's almost insulting, isn't it? The master had no patience for people who didn't share his passion for servanthood. And as we continue to think about servanthood this month, I want to challenge our church to take stock of the talents that we have, and there are many. What are the signs of God's generous wealth in our congregation? How has he blessed you as an individual? How has he blessed you as a student, as a brother, as a sister, as a mother, as a father, as a community? How has he blessed you in your careers? What are the things that I have that I could offer unto others as a blessing? And then again, you know, don't sell yourself short. Don't think, well, this is all I've got. God is saying, well, that's great. If it's only two, I can make two more. If you only have a couple of loaves, that's enough. I can feed thousands with that. Don't be afraid that you'll lose it. In our world, we're talking about conserving all the time. Conserve, conserve, conserve. Conserve your energy. Conserve your time. Conserve your serving. Don't spread yourself thin. And I'm not advocating for this thing where like people unhealthily give and give and just burn out. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying the little you have, you'd be surprised what God can do with it. In this church, I've heard many times over, I remember one person saying, you know, long time ago, I remember one of those kids came in from the Chinatown community, and man, that kid was just real problem. That was, kid was a problem. And, you know, but I just try to stick with that kid. I didn't really know much. But now that kid's actually one of the leaders at this church. And I was thinking, who is that? I'm not going to say it. One person came to this church really struggling in prayer, didn't know how to pray. Someone just said, just quoted some scripture very simply. And that scripture proved to be a real lifeline for her in the years to come. One person who didn't know much about God came to this place and just found a good, kind, caring person. It wasn't glamorous, but they went on to do greater things. In my life, I remember just sitting in front of a TV, late night rerun of Billy Graham preaching, and my life was changed. I came to Christ through a TV. Not very glamorous, is it? But look how God multiplies. Look how God does great things. The blessings of God are made to be multiplied. As we work the talents, watch how the talents will continue to work. You know, I don't have the answers for all the ills of the world. The situation in Haiti is most desperate. I am not suggesting by any means that we are going to solve this problem. But we can do something. And the something that we do can be multiplied. There are needs in this church. I don't have the overnight answer. I wish I did. But I know I can do something. And I know you can do something. And I know that God can multiply that. And it's in this place where we start with what we have, with what we can do, that God multiplies. I don't have a million. Yes. But you may have five or two, or even one. And I want to tell you, Matthew 25 is basically saying you can do something with that. When Jesus Christ comes again, he's not going to grade us. He's not going to say, like, how many talents did you produce? Was your profit beneficial to the kingdom? Because let me tell you something, if you don't know, God is far more rich than us. He's far more rich than we'll ever be. There's nothing that we can give to God that he does not already have. So he's not looking at economy like we are. But he is saying, for what I did give you, what did you give? And I want to encourage you. I know it sounds like a scary thing, but I think the most joyful, the most grateful, the most alive Christians I've ever met are people who don't have a lot, but what little they have, they give. And when they give, they see the multiplication of God in their midst, and it wants them to give more. It wants them to be more gracious, to be more loving. And my heart is that that kind of spirit would come into our community as well. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, make us people of gratitude and generosity, servants for your sake, for your kingdom, for the little we have. Multiply what we have for your kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.